Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Lace up your sneakers, people, and join me, Hugh Douglas, on Saturday, April 13th for the 40th Sickle Cell Road Race and Walk in the city of East Point. East Point, the race is a charitable event with proceeds supporting Camp New Hope and other services of Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. For more information, go to sicklecellrace.com. That's sicklecellrace.com. I got to write something down real quick, John.
Okay.
Because, you know, in the last segment, you know, you waxed poetic about, you know, Ronald Acuña Jr. and how he could potentially hit 40 home runs. And
50.
You had my head spin a little bit. I couldn't keep up. So today, that's how you feel about Ronald Acuña.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Just wanted to make sure. You're like, Bo, if you could, just, you know, cut that little piece
Bo
off.
Bo Johnson.
Bo Johnson, yes. Cut that little piece off, and let's keep that, because more than likely, if something doesn't go right or to John's liking tonight, it's probably going to change. So I have to be able to keep up with the conversation, because it's a fluid conversation, especially when it comes to Atlanta Braves with my man John Freaky. It's one of those conversations that ebbs and flows like water. It will change in a heartbeat.
I am a talk show host. I reserve the right to amend and revise and extend my remarks.
You just don't amend your remarks. John, you will wholesale flip, like you the flip-flop.
All right,
you're what they call a
but
chocolate.
But I haven't even amended my remarks yet.
No, you're not. Not yet.
Here's how I amend my remark. Wait, before I just got this text from my beautiful and adoring wife.
Right? Cheddar biscuits.
No, morning, babe. Happy anniversary eve.
Cheddar biscuits.
Do you get these? It's like Siri in person. Okay, we're gonna remind.
Because she's trying to remind you. Yeah. Cheddar biscuits.
Is there something about anniversary eve? Did I miss? Is that a celebration?
You might want to get a card just in case
for anniversary eve.
Yeah, you might want to
get
a card.
All right. Okay. So this is how I revise and extend. Okay. So yesterday I was talking about maybe you should lead him off in Denver just to jumpstart him. Now let's remember that even with two hits last night, he's hitting a whopping 176 on the year. And I said, you know, you might jumpstart him, you might jumpstart Donaldson, and Donaldson needs to be jumpstarted by putting him back in what is, because you had a weapon nobody in baseball had in the number one, by in my opinion, the undisputed number one threat at leadoff in all of Major League Baseball. Undisputed number one threat in all of baseball. Then I'm watching him back cleanup last night, and he hits that breaking ball down and away 440 feet into the first deck over the bullpen in right center at Coors Field. And I'm thinking, okay, the ball carries at Coors Field. But I'm just going, man, you know, it occurs to me as I watch him, I think he's going to hit a home run every time. If you make any mistake remotely close, he's going to hit it out, because he's only had 29 home runs in his career, right? Have you known him to have even one cheap home run? You know, one that just kind of ekes over the wall?
Oh, no, he's crushing them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's hits 30, 40 rows deep every time.
He's crushing them.
I mean, the ball just explodes off his bat. And so I started thinking, okay, I'm gonna revise. I still believe that he is, Hugh, as of this morning, the number one leadoff threat in all of Major League Baseball. I still believe that. But I'm also getting to a point where I believe he is possibly one of the top two or three cleanup threats in all of Major League Baseball. I think he's both.
Interesting. I don't even know how to respond to that, John, because we just sat here yesterday and you made a strong case to put him in the number one hole to just get him started. Now you want to leave him in the number four hole. This is, like I said, this is a fluid situation, and I'm not picking on you. I'm just pointing out from my perspective how, you know, it just kind of changes a little bit every day.
Well, we haven't – a couple of things are true. Number one is this team took off when Ronald Acuña got hot and moved to the leadoff spot last year, right? True. Absolutely true. And we haven't solved the leadoff spot yet. I mean, yesterday Ozzie led off, went 0 for 5. Ender's hitting 206. I'm wondering, where in all of this does Christian Pache kind of maybe figure in possibly?
Well, I will say this. When you're winning, and you win in the fashion that they won last night, every major league team has warts. But your warts aren't as, you know, I guess not as evident or not as warty when you get that W. You know, because everybody has flaws in the game or whatever. Somebody's going to be on one night, somebody's not. That's kind of how it's been for the leadoffs for the Atlanta Braves, for the most part. Still somewhat early to be tweaking the lineup just yet. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a little bit of tweakage yesterday, moving some cats around, but that's a little tweak. But I think it's still a little bit too early to do that just yet.
All right, we have a chance to talk some Braves, 404-741-0929. That's also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I have three questions. We are 10 games in. That is equivalent to one game in the NFL. It's 1/16 of the season, all right? And after 10 games, I gave the team earlier today a B-. The two best things so far, starting pitching and defense. The offense has been okay. And, of course, the bullpen, despite last night, where they actually did a pretty good job, has been really shaky. Now, having said that, I'm going to ask three questions about the Braves, and you're welcome to weigh in. Again, 404-741-0929. Answer any of these three questions. You can talk about Acuna if you like. Same with the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Hugh, here are my three questions. I'm going to bounce them off you. Number one, Braves have won 6 of the last 7. Are they on the verge of getting hot? And I mean really hot. Do you get a sense that the team's on the verge of being really hot, or are they just playing pretty good ball right now?
I think they're playing pretty good ball right now. I think when you get everybody healthy, then you see where you are. Not to cut you off, John, but still, the sore spot for this team, and it hasn't hurt you yet, bullpen.
Dansby is on the –
he's getting
a tear.
Hot.
Okay, so he gets another triple last night. They move him up to the number 6 spot. 3 home runs, 12 RBIs, playing great defense. Will we see this out of Dansby all season? Is this just a hot start, or are we seeing what Dansby Swanson, the former number one pick in Major League Draft, can actually be as a player?
I think we're seeing what he can actually be as a player, John. I think it's about time, too, because a lot of the questions going into the season was, when is Dansby Swanson going to break out? Number one overall pick in the draft, when is he going to break out? And I think part of that was because Ronald Acuña Jr. kind of overshadowed.
He overshadowed everybody.
Yeah, he overshadowed him a little bit. So now, yeah, it's time for him to pay huge dividends. And I think for him, in offseason, working with Chipper Jones has helped him out tremendously. He looks like a totally different player.
And by the way, Acuña overshadowing him is not just good for the team, but maybe good for him. Because when he came here, he was going to be the golden boy. He was the Marietta kid. He was the number one pick. There was an awful lot of pressure on him. He was going to be the poster, you know, the billboard guy, right? Mm-hmm. And now he's been able to relax a little bit and just kind of find his own zone. You know, and he's really developed into the kind of player I can see Dansby Swanson being the shortstop for the Braves for the next, 13, 14 years.
Hopefully that's the case. That's the case. Hopefully that is the case. He stays healthy. There's so many intangibles in that. And it's not like I'm not with you on that, but it's like, you know, for me, it is the body of a work thing. Now, he's got off to a great start. There's no question about that. Still a lot of season left. And you know how it goes, John, ebb and flow, the grind, the long grind of the season. Still a lot of baseball left to be played, but he's off to a great start. He's off to a tremendous start.
404-741-0929. So two questions out there to you. One is, do you get the sense the team's about to get hot? And, 6-7 is a pretty good hot, but, really on a tear, and suddenly everybody's going to wake up in another week going, oh, my God, the Braves, look at this team. Really hot. Because I kind of got a sense of that a little bit. Dansby, is what we've seen in the first 10 games for real, in your opinion? Are we seeing the real Dansby Swanson? Is he, as Alex Anthopoulos said to Hugh and I, when we asked him about the wrist, Dansby had 6 home runs 2 years ago. He had 14 last year. Alex said, look, this guy's a 20 to 25 home run guy. And suddenly he has opposite field power, which we saw in the spring, we saw in his first home run of the year. And he drove that one, to deep center last night. Are we seeing, with his defense, the real Dansby Swanson, and do we have a bona fide guy growing into an all-star shortstop in front of our eyes? That's question two. Question number three to you, again, if you want to jump into the program, is what are we going to do with Julio Teheran? Mike Voltenevich due to come back at the end of the week, and when he rejoins the team, you're going to have Gausman and Voltenevich. You're going to have, of course, Sean Newcomb. You'll have Kyle Wright. You'll have Max Fried and Julio Teheran. You got 6 starters. And in my book at the moment, the odd man out is Julio.
He had a bad inning last night. I think up until that, he was pretty decent. He was pretty decent. You would probably want him to go a little bit longer. But I think that that's something as far as what are you going to do as far as him being an odd man out. I don't think that's the case just yet. That could potentially be the case. If you take what happened last year when they moved him into, was it middle relief for the playoffs or whatever, they moved him to the bullpen.
Yeah, he pitched one inning.
Yeah, and I think that probably is an indicator of what could potentially happen. But I think that he's going to get a chance. He's going to get every opportunity to fail in this situation because I think he deserves that. You're talking about, what, the six years in a row been the starter, the ace, supposed ace, the starter of the season, six seasons. So you have to allow him every chance to fail in a situation before you make that move.
I do find it kind of interesting. I mean, he went from opening day starter to we're 10 games in and we're saying, what do we do with him? Because I think it's a legitimate question. You have your opening day starter and we're sitting around going, well, I don't know really what we're going to do with him. Do we put him in long relief? Do we let him spot start at six? Because when Fulton Evich gets back, your tight rotation, your four-man rotation does not include Julio Teheran, and maybe your five-man doesn't. Now, you could also make a case where, depending on his next start, what happens with Kyle Wright, then maybe Kyle Wright goes back down to Gwinnett and gets a few starts and Julio stays. I think Julio's got a spot on the team right now, and I'm not suggesting you trade him necessarily unless somebody calls you up and says, hey, we could really use a veteran starter and makes you an offer you can't refuse. I don't know that you shop him unless somebody calls you. But if somebody called Alex Anthopoulos, I'd listen.
Yeah, I mean, you have to listen, John. That's a good baseball manager. That's a good front office guy. You have to listen to all offers because it might be one of those offers that you cannot turn down.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's funny. You're always looking to improve your team. Now, I just want to give a shout-out to my man, Keith. He just texted me and said, hey, hate when I say it's too early to change the lineup. You need to change it early because you don't want to do it too late. Why are you changing the lineup right now? What has happened with this lineup, the way that it is presently constructed, is the problem?
Well, there are a couple of issues that need to be addressed, and maybe it's just, hey, we got to get Josh Donaldson going.
Okay,
that was one of the reasons
record?
Okay, hang on. But you ask about the lineup. Yeah, there's 6-4. But one of the reasons I said put Acuna in leadoff is it may jumpstart Josh Donaldson because Donaldson, to his credit, is drawing walks. He's starting to get on base. He's playing great defense. I mean, his defense has been gold glove, which it hasn't affected him. He's just not hitting yet, and he's going to hit. And once Josh starts to hit, oh, he's going to hit.
Okay, but John, if that's the case, why not allow him at least a little bit more time to get comfortable in the spot that he's hitting in? Instead of starting, okay, you're not hitting this week, so now I'm going to move you to the three spot.
No, I'm
spot
not saying I don't want to move Donaldson.
No, but what I'm saying is that's what I'm talking about. This is what Keith's talking about. It's better to do it early than do it late. Why all of a sudden, if everybody's not hitting, you want to start moving around the lineup? That, to me, makes no sense, especially when you're winning at this point. Now, if it becomes an issue where you're losing games because everybody's not hitting at the same time, then you start to move the lineup around. I just don't see with one or two guys in key positions that you feel should be hitting, should be moved around in order to get everybody going at the same time.
Well, I think you try and find out what's going to be. We are kind of playing and toying with the lineup a little bit. We moved Dansby to 6 yesterday for a reason. He's got a hot bat. We moved him up from 8 to 6 for the first time this year, and I think that was a good thing. And we still haven't figured out leadoff.
Yeah, we're going to figure that out. But guess what, John? Hey, UFC fans, join me, Hugh Douglas, and 92.90 Game for the UFC meet and greet this Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. at Metro by T-Mobile store located off Old Norcross Road in Duluth. Former UFC welterweight champion Anthony Pettis will be there signing autographs and taking pictures with fans. Plus, stop by for your chance to win a pair of UFC 236 tickets for Saturday, April 13th at State Farm Arena. Boom!
Talking about the Braves' first 10 games of the year, what are your reactions to where the team stands after 10 games in? With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Tuesday. Virginia Cavaliers, national champions after beating Texas Tech 85-77 last night to win their first ever national title, and congratulations to Virginia. Kind of salves a little bit of what the ACC went through in this tournament, three number one seeds. It was going to be kind of a bust out if they didn't win a national championship, and to only get one team into the Final Four was a little bit concerning, but the ACC ends up standing pretty tall with Virginia's national title, and what a run they had to go through. Purdue in the last second. I mean, these three games. Yeah, Purdue in the last second.
Heart palpitations.
With the last second buzzer beater to send that game to overtime. You had Auburn and the call at the last second of the Auburn game, and then last night, the overtime with a shot from the corner by DeAndre Hunter and then playing defense, and then the I don't know why it was controversial call in overtime on the deflection out of bounds because it went off Texas Tech. I mean, to me, it wasn't controversial at all. But I mean, two overtime games, three games that came down to the buzzer in regulation, and they managed to win all three, Hugh. And, you know, this wasn't just a let's blitzkrieg to the title. This was, man, you had to fight for it to get there.
Oh, and that's what makes it even sweeter, John. When you look at all of those times that Virginia potentially would have could have went home and for them to fight through that, I mean, that makes this win for them even sweeter, knowing the gauntlet that you had to run to get to this point.
You know, it'd be interesting with the ping pong balls dropping on May 14th for the Atlanta Hawks. I just had to check. I can never remember the date. It's the 9th of April. Well, I should be able to remember it. My anniversary is tomorrow. Anyway, it's April 9th, so that means a month and 5 days away from the ping pong ball extravaganza. And, of course, we're all going to be waiting on that night. Everybody as a Hawks fan going to be watching the ping pong balls rattle around to see where the Hawks end up with their pick and whether or not Dallas moves into the top five and do you get two picks and whatnot for the Atlanta Hawks. And that's why it was so interesting last night, because DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver are in that mix of where the Hawks might draft one or two players. And I don't know, maybe we saw two future Hawks playing last night. Culver wasn't great. He's a good defense player. He just had a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
Or not a great game by Jarrett Culver standards.
Yeah, but you look at on the biggest stage, yes, that is something that factors into it, because you always want to, you know, shine mm-hmm. in moments like that. But that is not your whole body of work. You know what I mean? And they're not going to just judge you off of that one game. But they're going to look at that film. That's one of the films they're going to pop out, and you're going to be asked a lot of questions like, hey, what was going through your head right here?
Can I throw a couple of football notes at you?
What you got?
All right. Number one, Eagles are signing former AAF quarterback Luis Perez to a one-year deal. And so the first AAF player into the NFL is happening, and I imagine there are going to be quite a few AAF guys. It'll be interesting to see if the Falcons invite any AAF guys to camp.
Yeah, good for them, man. You know what's funny? When you mentioned that, I didn't think there were going to be too many guys. But as I look across my Twitter feed and look through some of the papers that I like to read, there's a few guys that have gotten shots to catch on with NFL teams. As a matter of fact, there's one defensive end. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head. Going to Miami. He's going to Miami to get a shot to play with them. So, yeah, there's a few guys that with the defunct league going on right now, they're going to get a shot to play in the NFL. That's good for them.
Yeah, it is good for them. So the AAF turned out to be beneficial for some of these guys, and that's kind of a neat story. Another neat story, of course, is the story of the Packers. And I say neat only because it's kind of fun to watch the drama that is unfolding in certain places. And we thought that Pittsburgh was all the drama. Well, it turns out Green Bay's got drama too. And now you've got Aaron Rodgers out there kind of backing off this whole thing with Mike McCarthy, Hugh, and basically saying that he wasn't the reason McCarthy left.
Well, that's kind of the side story, John, but the real story is how Aaron Rodgers is trying to tell everybody to let's move on from this and let's celebrate Coach McCarthy, because he needs to be celebrated. They had some great times here in Green Bay. You know what that screams to me? That this is one that you're not going to win, because they're like – when I see some of the comments that are made from his old teammates, I believe where there's smoke, there's fire. So what he's trying to do, he's trying to get ahead of this and make this just go away, period. And that's why he's making some of the comments that he's made. He's also pointed out that him and Mike McCarthy didn't have the kind of relationship that he's painted to have. But the thing that jumps out to me is there was a couple of his old teammates talked about how arrogant Aaron Rodgers was and things of that nature. So I think that there's something to that as far as the way that he acts up there in Green Bay. But I also feel like he wants this to go away as quickly as possible, because he doesn't want all of that negative spin to be on him going into the season,
is
smart.
It is.
Smart way to be.
Yeah, and he's obviously a very popular player. He's won a Super Bowl.
Well, he's a popular player in folks' eyes that don't really know him. And the one thing that, you know, we always talk about being here at the station is always want to pull the curtain back and see who a person really is. I think that he is one of those guys that if you really got to know who he was, you probably wouldn't like him. And that's the thing that he's trying to guard against by making this story go away.
Well, there is that. I mean, there always been rumors about him. Now, the story about he being estranged from his family and he hasn't talked to his family in years and years and years and years, and we don't know what happened with that and why he doesn't talk to his father and his mother and his brother. But there have been stories about that, and the stories were that Aaron was the issue, not the family, that Aaron was the problem. And now you're starting to see more and more of that, that maybe he is the issue and he has a reputation to protect because there is Aaron Rodgers, pitchman, State Farm double discount, double check guy, and yeah. State Farm doesn't want to have that, you know, come back at them that you're a problem because that gets out there that you're a serious problem. And people like State Farm are going to go, okay, and I don't know what he pitches up in Wisconsin, but I'm sure he's got car dealerships and everything else he pitches. And you know what? Where it redounds poorly on you is all those advertising dollars.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're talking about, John, is that, you know, you want this to go away. Because when you listen to some of the comments, he addressed the Mike McCarthy issue, but it's other stuff that when I listen to him talk about this, it just sounds to me like he wants this to go away as quickly as possible. He does not want this to be a story in the paper that people are reading and talking about.
All right, so let's talk about something more positive here. Did you see what here's the final football note, what the XFL wants to do? Oh, man of mercy.
What do they want to do, John Freaking? Tell me about it.
All right, so the commissioner of the XFL.
Who is the commissioner, by the way?
It's Andrew Luck's dad.
Is that right?
Yeah, Oliver Luck.
Did not know that.
Yep. Former star quarterback himself. Oliver Luck was a great player at West Virginia. Oliver Luck, Andrew Luck's dad, is the commissioner of the XFL. He says that the XFL is going to have a 1 point. They're not going to kick extra points. They're all going to be going for it from scrimmage. You get 1 point from the 2-yard line. If you choose to, you can go back to the 5-yard line and get a 2-point conversion. And if you choose to, you can go back to the 10-yard line and get a 3-point conversion.
And if you're really feeling lucky, can you get a 4-point conversion?
No, they haven't done that one yet. But I was thinking maybe they ought to move it back to midfield and try for the 4. Yeah, so they're going to do a 1 point from the 2, a 2 point from the 5, and a 3 point from the 10.
That might be kind of interesting. I wonder are they going to bring back the names on the back of the jerseys?
Like he hate me?
Yeah, he hate me.
You played with he hate
Rod
me.
Rod Smart, yeah. Rod Smart. Matter of fact, I think Rod Smart lives here in Georgia. He lives here. But, yeah, I wonder if they're going to do that. And what was really wild, I wonder how much of the old elements of the XFL are they going to bring into the new league as far as the cheerleaders. Because you remember one thing about that, fellas, the cheerleaders were kind of like, you know, extra.
Yeah.
They were extra, extra.
Yeah, they were extras, right.
Yeah.
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 They went right from the game to their other day job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, you know what, John? I think people know, they've been listening to this show long enough to know where we were going with that.
Okay.
I think they kind of knew where we were going with that.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, I wonder how much of those old elements are they going to bring back into the new game?
I don't know. I just know that, you know, they're going to try it again. Here we go. I don't know. This is probably Spring League number 8 that we've tried and that's going to be next year. And Atlanta's not going to have a team. But they're going into, unlike the AAF, which went into, Atlanta was the only NFL city they went into. They went into, you know, San Antonio and Memphis and Birmingham and whatnot. The XFL is going right into NFL markets. They're going to New York, Los Angeles, Chicago.
See, I'm thinking that's probably where they're probably messing up at, is they're going into markets that already have, like, other things that are established. When you think about it, when you put teams like that into major markets that are not of the caliber of the NFL, I think it's kind of hard to thrive. I think your best bet is to put them in towns that maybe has a nice college stadium where people can go and watch the games. Like I'm thinking more like rural areas.
Well, I think the AAF was counting on that, Hugh, and they were counting on San Antonio selling out the stadium. We finally have, you know, the first team. The last time I remember San Antonio having a team, I don't know, maybe they had a team in the CFL. They had a USFL team, and Rick Neuheisel was the quarterback of the San Antonio Gunslingers. I mean, they went into these markets expecting that these towns would embrace them, and they didn't.
You know? That's a tough one, man. That model, that second-tier football model, for whatever reason, has not worked.
Nope.
Has not worked.
But now they have a 3-point extra point.
Ooh, pay good money to see that.
Who's in today? Top of the hour. Do we know yet?
I saw Randy McMichael. I think it's Randy,
Randy
and John.
Mack. I did see Randy Mack.
And John Chuckery.
And John Chuckery's here?
Yeah. That's a party. That's a party right there. It's going to be a party.
Oh, I got to go out there and say hi in my own special way. They're at the top of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour, the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. A couple of notes from social media. One from the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line from Johnny in Tallapoosa.
Tallapoosa, where is that?
Out right towards Alabama state line.
Okay. Okay. Never heard of it, but okay.
Yeah, Tallapoosa. John is like, quote, the Braves have won two in a row. We're going to the World Series this year. Laugh out loud. I didn't say that yet. Did you win tonight three in a row? And I might.
No, you know, it's funny. That I'm starting to get that's just how some baseball fans are. I mean, you know, I look at it, like you just said, you pointed out this morning that, you know, you played the first game, if you put it in football terms, the first game of a 16-game season,
right,
and you won.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm on here going back and forth with people talking about changing the lineup and not waiting too long and you know, you got three games. They're still hung up on those three games that you lost to the Phillies. And how, you know, if you don't hurry up and change the lineup, how it's going to affect the three games that you lost and when you're three games back or whatever that is. And listen, I get all of that. I get all of your concerns. But like I said, still a lot of baseball left in front of you. And just because the lineup's not changing right now doesn't mean the lineup's not going to change. I just think that you have to allow it to play out before you start tinkering with the lineup just yet. I mean, we're not even a good 3 weeks into the season, and we're already talking about lineup changes and you know, doing this, that, and the third. I just feel like in baseball, with as long as the season is, that's a little bit premature. Allow it to play out a little bit before you start tinkering with the lineup or getting all emotionally invested and you know, getting all up in your feels. That's just me. That's a long season. That's a long emotional season to be on an up-and-down roller coaster. When you're talking about as much baseball as they play in a week's time to be on that emotional roller coaster, I commend anybody that's on that ride on a day-to-day basis. I do, because I'm not about to do it.
A ride is day-to-day, game-to-game, season-to-season. You know, we've been on this roller coaster for – you think it's bad now? You should have been here in the 90s, because that grind – even when we had, you know, the height of Maddox, Glavine, and Spoltz, I mean, we were every single day grinding and grinding and grinding because we wanted the next one. Because that team always had a kind of an issue offensively, you know, and that was, you know, are we going to hit today, you know, because you'd have guys individually hit, whether it was Justice or Gann or McGriff or, you know, the hitters. But you know, a lot of times that team, Pendleton, those teams would go into hitting funks.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure even that team, the World Series team, There were warts that they had during the season, mm-hmm. and it was one of those things where it was an up-and-down roller coaster, but they pulled it through. And that's how I tend to watch baseball. Now, again, I'm not here trying to sway anybody's position on how they feel, but I commend you. I commend you for that up-and-down roller coaster ride that you're on a day-to-day basis.
Knox Bardeen, our social media guru, tweets out, only Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers, only Cody Bellinger has more RBI 11 in April than Braves shortstop Dansby Swanson, who has driven in 10 in 7 games. That's Dansby. Is Dansby for real? Is one of the questions this morning. What you've seen in these 10 games so far, 3 home runs, 12 RBIs, playing great defense. Not good. Gold glove, great defense by Dansby. It's one thing that's true. Say what you like about Josh Donaldson's hitting. He's been phenomenal defensively. Those two at short and at third have been spectacular. And, of course, Ozzie and Freddie are A-class defenders as well. The Braves, I would guess, and I'm just guessing here, have the best defensive infield, if not the best defensive team in all of baseball.
That's one of their strengths. There's no question about it, and that was on display last night. Dansby snatched a couple of them out of the air. like he played some great defense last night. So that was definitely one of the things when you look at this Braves team that is not a wart. Defense is not a wart.
I just noticed that Knox retweeted, that 92.9 The Game retweeted Knox's tweet. That's Knox retweeting himself, because he is 92.9 The Game. He's retweeting himself, Hugh.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, he wants to, hey, listen, it's all about getting the, hey, getting them likes, baby.
Do you retweet yourself?
No. Most of the stuff that I tweet, you know, it tends to rub people the wrong way. So, nah.
Well, why is that?
I just do. It's just how I roll. That's just how I roll.
Did you ever think of not tweeting then?
Nah, I'm a tweet. And sometimes I tweet petty. I tweet petty a lot. Mm-hmm. I tweet petty a lot because, like I said, I don't just subscribe to that. You know, a lot of people talk about how, well, you know, you should be an adult and you should rise above that and you shouldn't say stuff and you should ignore people. Nah, I ain't there yet. I'm sorry.
I'm not there yet. Well, not when you there. Hit 50, are you going to be there?
Probably not. I'm not gonna be there because I just don't feel like you should, just because, you know, somebody's in a different position than you, that you should just say anything that you feel like saying to somebody. I just don't just subscribe to that.
My Twitter is today is, you know, I said, you know, when it comes to, you know, kind of northern Cobb County and, you know, that area, you know, what's the best king crab around? And people just Marietta Fish Market or Red Lobster, Juicy Crab, those kind of places, you know. Somebody told me Outback.
Don't sleep on Outback. Outback got some good food now. Yeah, get you a Bloomin' Onion, man.
It's not the Bloomin' Onion.
Don't poo-poo the chain restaurants, man.
I didn't poo-poo anything.
I know you're making all that money now. Don't get brand new. See, that's what I'm saying, man. That's the problem that I have with you people. You people that work.
You people
that get a little bit of money in your pocket and you forget where you came from. No. I bet you don't have any ramen noodles in your cabinet at your house.
Well, I'm going to guess that you and I both make less money than we did at our peak. Okay? Just a guess.
Hey, I got ramen noodles at my house, John. Okay. I eat ramen noodles every now and then.
All right.
I keep cereal just in case.
You used to have bigger paychecks than you have today,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, I did. But I, you know,
me too.
Yeah,
okay.
I did. But
me too.
I can eat. I know what it's like to eat Captain Crunch for dinner. I tend not to forget. When you don't forget stuff like that, John, you'll always be a humble individual. See, that's what you forgot. You forgot what it was like to eat at Red Lobster when you was trying to impress somebody. And they were impressed.
No. I eat at Red Lobster all the time. I go to these places. I go to Marietta Fish Market. I like them. It's my anniversary.
John, if your wife's okay with it, then that's cool. Do you know how much you're winning when you have a wife? That's cool with if you take her to Red Lobster just to get the cheddar biscuits.
Yeah, but she don't want no Bloomin' Onion or cheddar biscuits. She wants King Crab. So
I gotta find the best
King Crab.
If it's Red Lobster
or Marietta Fish Market, or somebody said Outback had great King Crab or Juicy Crab.
I wouldn't go to Outback to get no King Crab, man. I know that some people feel differently.
Bo Johnson.
I don't know.
So you got to answer that for me.
I don't know about going to get no King Crab from no lobster. I mean, no steak place. I don't know about that. If you want some good lobster, you go to a lobster place.
All right. So you got to tweet me at John Friggy and tell me between. You got to kind of go into my area, which is like Barrett Parkway and North, all right? Because it's as far south as I can go, because it's a 20-minute drive to Barrett Parkway for me from the northern burbs. So that's as far as I'm going. So you think Barrett Parkway, you got what, like Red Lobster, you got Juicy Crab, you got Outback, and you got Marietta Fish Market, which is over on Sandy Plains. So if you know that area, somebody's got to tell me, where do I get the best King Crab, all right? And you can tweet me at John. Just let me know, because I don't know where to go.
I'm gonna say again, man, the Red Lobster, because you get the bonus, you get the crabs, and you get the Cheddar Bay biscuits. Would you get like five in a little basket? You get like five. I don't know why they give you five, especially when it's two of y'all. Because somebody gonna be really disappointed. Because if you're going with me, I'm gonna get that third biscuit. That third biscuit belongs to me. Especially
does
if
it
I'm
have
paying
like
for
your,
the meal.
Did they put your name on it? Like
no,
you know,
but I'm just saying, if I go get the listen. If I go to Red Lobster to get the Cheddar Bay biscuits, hey, sweetie, don't grab that third biscuit, whatever you do.
Oh, wait.
You take your two.
Talking about it with a date.
Yeah, okay, I'm talking about with a date. Right, sweetie, don't listen. And you say it in a way that they understand exactly where you're coming from. Hey, don't grab that third biscuit. And say it with a little smirk, because then they know you ain't playing.
Oh, yeah.
Say it with a smirk. Say, hey.
Yeah, that'll go over well, Mike.
Don't grab that third biscuit.
No, I think more tomorrow night is going to be, honey, whatever you'd like. You want the third biscuit? You can have the third biscuit.
If you grab that third biscuit, it's going to be
a
problem.
Matter of fact, you can have my dinner.
You just can't have the third biscuit. Cannot have that third biscuit.
Take it all. It's yours. Because what's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours. Truth about marriage.
Yeah, that's probably why you're still married. And me, not so much.
Randy Mack is married.
Happily married.
Maybe he knows. Randy Mack, John Chuckery, top of the hour, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.